Well, we're going to spend a little time in God's Word on the subject of God is light. And we're going to start in 1 John chapter 1. The Jersey Central Power and Light Company had nothing on God. He is light, and you can't extinguish him. There are no power failures. But there is a great truth in verse 5 as far as God being light. He describes himself as being light. So verse 5 says, "This then is the message which we have seen, heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." So God describes himself as light, and all light. There's no darkness whatsoever in God Almighty. Just none. And light is something, you know, as we know in Genesis 1, when he was putting back together the earth, he said, "Let there be light," and there was light. You know, light is necessary for life for us. I mean, we need it. The food we eat needs light. Vegetables need light. Grass needs light. Animals need light. We all need light. And it sustains life for us. There are creatures that God put in the real deep of the ocean that don't live off of light. They live off of other things. But how it gets to that, there's light above it. I don't know. The light is necessary. Take the light out, and we got problems. I read a statistic once. No, I didn't read it. I knew a guy that lived up there in Alaska, whatever the name of the capital is. Not the capital, but the really big city. It's way up north in Alaska. And in the wintertime, there's only about 4 to 5 hours of daylight. And he said a lot of people get depressed and are alcoholics because they can't handle not being in sunshine. And it's so depressing that they just fall apart. And he goes, it's really kind of difficult to make it through a winter there. And, you know, people are generally happier when there's sunny than when it's cloudy. But God describes himself as being light. And the darkness is not literal here. There are two types of darkness. The kind that looks dark, you can't see through. And the other is referring to the ways of the devil. You know, the devil is referred to as darkness, and his ways are referred to as darkness or dark. And he doesn't have anything that the devil has in him. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Now, before we got saved or born again, we were technically the property of the devil. We were born into this world with sin and no salvation, and we were technically owned by the devil. And in chapter 1, verse 12, it says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet or adequate to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So in verse 13, where it says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and that's referring to the power of the devil, Satan, and his influence. And another way of translating it for power of darkness would be the operative influences of darkness. We were easily influenced by the ways of the darkness as we were growing up, until we got born again and started changing our thinking. I know I was. we many times did the things we did only because that's what the world did and we followed it. And so let's go to Acts chapter 28. Darkness, however, has no power over us anymore, unless we allow it to. We are no longer the property of the devil. We're now sons of God, and it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:5 that we are children of light. We are God's children. And it's a much different story now. Acts chapter 26 describes, Paul is describing part of what his ministry was to do and what God wanted him to do. And in verse 17 we'll start. It says, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles whom I now send thee, to open their eyes. This was what Paul was going to be doing, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are manifest by faith that is in me. That's one of the things that he was going to do and did do by preaching of the Word of God. And it did help people turn from darkness unto light, from the power of darkness unto God, which is really wonderful. And we do that too as we speak God's Word to people. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. We have a terrific light. And God as our Father, He is light, and we are light. And the interesting thing is that not everybody likes light. It's like not everybody likes God. You know, it's hard to believe that somebody would hate God, but there are people out there who do. And they're generally no fun to be around. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praise of him who hath called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. And that's what we've been called. We've been called out of darkness, and we've been called into his marvelous light. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Just such a great truth that God is light, in him is no darkness at all. There's nothing that he will do that has any devilish stuff to it. Sometimes people attribute things, horrible things that happen to people, to God Almighty. And he gets a black eye sometimes from people saying things that aren't true. But chapter 4, verse 4. Says, in whom the God of this world, and that's referring to Satan, the devil, whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preached not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And that's just a tremendous thing. So the devil's always trying to keep people with really dark sunglasses on, where they just can't see. They're blinded. Like, I don't know if anybody really can see what's in that firebox other than maybe Connie, because she's close to the door. But it basically looks like darkness behind that glass, right? But if we shined a very powerful flashlight in there, you can see, hey, it's a fireplace. There's some wood in there or some bricks in there. Light makes manifest darkness. It chases it out. And the devil is always trying to have us see God like that fireplace where you just can't really even see. I mean, you know, it might be there, but you don't know nothing about it. And he does that in a lot of different ways. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. So the devil's always trying to keep people blinded so they don't see light, the light of God's word. Sometimes people hear God's word and they just it just doesn't compute for them. Because they have other things lodged in their thinking. Let's go to chapter 5, verse 8. And it says, "For you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." So we're not only children of light, but God wants us to walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit, the word Spirit there is in most texts the word light. For the fruit of the light is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, "Awake thou that sleepest, and rise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." So we're children of light, we're to walk as children of light, and that light makes manifest it. And we're not to have, as it says in verse 11, and have no fellowship. Fellowship is a sharing fully type of thing, and it says no fellowship. And the word no in the Greek is the word for no. You just cut it off. You just don't have it. No fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. There's no good fruit in darkness. It's all crappy fruit. It's unfruitful. The works of darkness are unfruitful. And our lies, and the words that we speak, are to reprove or make manifest that those works really aren't that good for you. So it's interesting how the, like we read in 1 Corinthians 4, where the devil tries to blind or does blind people's minds, and it keeps them from seeing that God is a loving God and a good God, and a, you know, wants to be with us and wants to bless our lives and wants to help us and wants to give us wisdom and wants to guide us and wants to comfort us and wants to heal us. And they don't see that. They look at God as whatever it is they see, and they say, they don't understand. Their minds are darkened. And a lot of people just have a very bad image of God in their heart. You know, they've been exposed to something that they thought was God, and they say, I don't want that. Let's go to Romans chapter 13. So Susan and I went to dinner last night in a local restaurant, and it's a nice restaurant, and it has a lot of different rooms. And there was one room that had maybe it's 5 or 6 tables in it. And so most of the, halfway through the dinner or whatever, a mouse shows up in the room, a little baby mouse. And at that time, there were so a couple sitting right next to us, and he saw it but didn't say anything. And then this other parties sat down, and they were there for just a little bit, and apparently they saw the mouse and got all upset and freaked out, and they said, we can't sit in here. We gotta go. So then the owner's son comes in, and the owner just had a stroke, apparently, we found out last night, and is recovering, but the son was, you could tell he was very moved, deeply upset about it, and now he's got this mouse to deal with. And we kept saying, us and the other couple, it's okay, it's just the mouse. I mean, we're not going to die here. Because they offered us a move, we said, it's fine, it's no big deal. So Susan started talking to the the man, he's in his 30s, I guess, and he was so visibly upset about his dad. And so Susan started, you know, talking about prayer and believing in God, and he got so touched, he gave Susan a big hug. And then he came over to me and gave me a big hug, and it just melted his heart. But the words of God was able to penetrate into his thinking, and he acknowledged him and it blessed him. But not everybody's like that. So there's another guy who runs the place, and we've known him for years, and he's bats for the wrong team, if you can imagine that. And so we had told him, we just found out about the, you know, your boss having a stroke and this and that. And we told Susan, was telling this guy that we'll be praying for him. And he goes, yeah, something about that. I understand what that religious stuff is, whatever. He he needs real help, you know. So, but what a difference in the same information. One got really blessed, and one guy, like, don't want to even talk about that. So, but, you know, the words of God can penetrate our souls and other people's souls if we allow it. Let's go to Romans 13. Romans 13. The light of God can be very penetrating, because remember, it says light makes manifest darkness. Like, that is a dark box right now, but we put a bunch of light in there. It's, you can see everything that's going on. It makes manifest, makes known what's going on inside. And the light of God's word can make known what's going on in our own heart, so we can figure things out. Why things are the way they are or aren't the way they are. Chapter 13, verse 12. Well, that's funny. You stay where you are. I happen to go to 1 Corinthians 13, 12. I'll read it. It's a good one. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I am known in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. We do see through a glass darkly. I'm going to Romans 13, verse 12. The night is far spent and the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Isn't that interesting? We're to cast off the works of darkness, and we're to put on the armor of light, which refers to the Word of God and the things of God. Let's go to Gospel of John, chapter 8. Jesus Christ, when he was on earth, he was the light of this world. John, chapter 8, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The darker, when we're walking someplace, the darker it is, and the more unknown we know what's around us, the slower we get, right? You ever be in a room where all of a sudden the lights went out and you're not familiar with it? You just don't rush through. You kind of put your hands up, kind of shuffle quilt slowly, because you don't know what's right in front of you, because it's dark. But when the light is on, no great precautions. Here, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So when things are going on in our lives, we understand what's going on. We see very clearly what to do or not to do. Chapter 12, verse 35. It's a horrible feeling not knowing what to do at times. Verse 35, then Jesus saith unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While you have the light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. And verse 46, I am come I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. We've been, you know, called out of the operative influences of darkness. And in chapter 3 of John, this is very telling of the reactions to the light of God's word when it's presented. Chapter 3, verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. So, sometimes the light's kind of like cockroaches. We were talking to some people last night at that place, and he said, you know, when I was young, I lived in this place, I had to leave the lights on all night because otherwise the cockroaches would climb all over me. Cockroaches don't like light. They like that darkness. And there are people who have, their lives are so full of devilish things that when they hear truth or see it, they want to get away from it. They don't want anything to do with it. It's unbelievable that people can be like that, but they are. And lastly, we are going to go to Romans chapter 1. So they run from the light and go back into the darkness. Romans chapter 1. And in the beginning of Romans, it talks about mankind in light of God and His Word, and how man got into the mess he's in. And in verse 18, it says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." And the word "hold" is a word that means to hold down. You could use the word suppress instead, or to hold down. It's almost like somebody trying to drown somebody else, and they hold their head down, and they just keep holding the head down. They're suppressing, they're holding that person down. But these people, what they did is they held down the truth in their unrighteousness. And I have four different translations stating the last part of that verse. The New King James Version puts, "who suppressed the truth in unrighteousness." And then the New Living Translation has it, "wicked people who suppress the truth by their wickedness." And then the RSV is, "who by their wickedness suppress the truth." And the ESV is, "who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth." They're holding it down. They're not allowing it to become part of their thinking or part of their lifestyle. They're suppressing it. And then some people go even worse and try to suppress others from getting, you know, and you see examples of that in the book of Acts, and we've seen it in life. People who try to stop others from listening and believing God's word. And so after after verse 18, where it says, you know, people who suppress the truth, then the next couple verses show what they did, because that which may be known of God is manifested in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. And who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. So they suppressed the truth by moving to other things. They pushed down the truth and grabbed onto other things that they wanted instead. You ever talk to somebody and they want information, you give them very accurate information that it's just plain as day that it's accurate or true, and they go, I don't want that. You know, just, and that's what these people had done with the reality of God. They rejected God and set up their own stuff. Remember Sodom and Gomorrah in Genesis, and Abraham's nephew Lot lived in Sodom, and it was filled with wicked people. It doesn't say how many people lived there, but it was a big couple cities, actually. And so God was going to terminate the people in there, and Abraham was pretty smart and figured, okay, Lot's there, I guess he's going to go too. So he asked God to, hey, you know, if there's 50 righteous there, you wouldn't kill the whole city for 50 righteous people. And God said, okay, no, I won't. So he worked them to 45, then 40, then 30, then 20, and then 10. And then he said, okay, if there's 10 righteous, I'll spare the city. He couldn't find 10 righteous. And in God's wonderfulness, he got Lot and his wife and his daughters and son-in-laws wouldn't go out. And so those who were righteous were saved. Two son-in-laws said, you're speaking stupid stuff. I'm not done with you. But they suppressed the truth. Those people in that city were reproved about what they were doing as being wrong, and they suppressed it, said, And so in our own lives, you know, do we suppress the truth to hold on to what we believe or want? Or do we go to the light and allow the light to change our thinking? You know, there's a lot that happens in life. But there's a lot of people that suppress the truth. They hear it and they say, don't want that. We were smart enough to say, you know, that sounds pretty good. I think I'll do that. When we do allow the light of God and His Word to come into our hearts, boy, do we see some great things. Like, God really loves us, really takes care of us. He gives us peace. Just that alone would be amazing, that if you had peace in your heart and life. What would you give just to get that? If you had to pay for it, would you pay $5 for it? Would you pay $20 for it? How much would be your threshold where you say, it's not that good? He gives it to us, and just to have peace along. But you know, health and thankfulness and goodness and kindness, and He's so kind to us, and we start seeing all these attributes about God Almighty because the light's shining on our brain, and we say, whoa, this is incredible. What about the future? We have absolutely no fear of what's going to happen to us in the future as far as the end result, you know, with the return of Christ and stuff. It's so clear to us and so in our thinking that we're not shook by it. How many people do we know that have no clue what's going to happen in the future? Even people who love God. I've asked a lot of people through the years, do you know if you're going to heaven? I have no idea. And they're Christian, but they just don't know because they haven't been taught what the Word says about it, which is a shame. So as we go closer to the truth, the light of God's Word, we don't want to scurry away from it. We want to keep going right to it, which is a great way to live.